and we will have an anointing that will be a light and life to all that we're in relationships with. Do you agree with that? But we have to be willing to give ourselves first to Jesus and His kingdom, and secondly, lose ourselves to the ministry He's called us to. And I'm going to tell you, being attached to the world and loving the world and the things of the world and getting too overly involved in that is a killer. It's a killer to faith. It's the one single solitary thing that is from Genesis to Revelation that kills the saints, is worldliness. So we have to have a right attitude and a right value system. So in Colossians chapter 3, if you are risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above, not on the earth. For you are dead, supposedly, and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Isn't that interesting, the wording there? When Christ, who is our life, the enzyme of life, Jesus, when He appears, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil, exercising and seeking sexual desire, that's what that word means, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, in which times you also walked when you lived in them. But now put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and stop lying one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Especially if you younger guys, you need to set your will and make decisions at this point in time in your life. I mean, not tonight necessarily, but it would be good. There is a... Before I read verse 10, I want to just say this. There is a power. How come some people live overcoming lives and some people don't? Is God favoring some and not favoring others? How many of you have heard the saying, by the grace of God, go on? You know, you see somebody, a beggar on the street, or somebody on the news, or, you know, that's killed somebody or whatever, and you say, except for the grace of God, there go I. Except for the grace of God, there go I. What have you just said? You just said God's gracing you, but not that person. See, that's a totally wrong statement. That's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Why not? Who has a cake that doesn't eat it? What in the world does that mean? So, God's grace is shed abroad on all life. So why do some overcome and others don't? It's because those that overcome, you know why they overcome? Because they focus on the grace. Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God in my life. I focus on the grace. I set my affection on the grace. I make a commitment and I set my will that I'm going to walk in the grace. You know, it's like if you're trying to lose weight, or you're trying to gain weight, or you're trying to gain muscle, or you're trying to, you know, you if you're trying to lose weight, you say, well, I cut back on what I eat. So if you're not hungry, what is that? That's grace. If you're 50 pounds overweight and mealtime comes up and you're not hungry, I call that grace. Don't frustrate that. Don't sit and stare at the next guy's steak. Don't go outside so you can smell the Kentucky Fried Chicken coming down from Albertson's. You know, don't put yourself in harm's way. I've known guys that would go drive 10 miles to go lust. Seriously, we lived in Plantation, Florida. You know, Fort Lauderdale, the beach was like, I don't know what, 10, 15 miles away, something like that. Yeah. You know, get off work, go take a shower, grab a hamburger and head it toward the beach. Why? Because they wanted to look at nude girls or half-nude girls on the beach. Christians. Well, what were you doing at the beach? Oh, well, we just thought we'd go down there and just, you know, fellowship. Walk and pray, yeah. I mean, I had to be down there every week, every Saturday. I had to be there. We had to be driving along the beach because the lawn service that I was blessed with for the ministry did this hotel on the beach. So, you know, we'd eat each other's legs as we're looking at the girls. No, not really. But I learned a lot. Because I learned a lot down there. Because I talked to the Lord about it. And He helped me. And He gave me precious insights on what that spirit is all about and how to keep myself in the presence of that so that I could be in that situation and not be lost to it. The Lord gave me direction. He helped me see creation as He sees it. He helped me adjust my whole view of that whole situation. And I didn't condemn those people for being down there either. I didn't have condemnation in my spirit. I didn't think myself better than they were. I didn't go, oh yes, that's the sinners down there. And He'll do that if you seek things above, if you seek Him. So, but verse 10, we're setting our affection on things above, and we're putting off all these things, anger, blasphemy, whatever, and it says, put on the new man. Who do you think you are? Who do you see yourself as being? Are you a new man? Are you real? When you were born again, when you came to Jesus, did He make you a new man? I've talked to a lot of people over the years, people in YWAM, people in Campus Crusade for Christ, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, just all these different organizations, because I ministered in all these organizations, parachurch situations, and talked to so many people who thought they were Christians, who went to church, who read the Bible, that were not born again. We're not born again. They did not have the goods. Their testimony was, well, you know, I don't really know the day I was saved. I don't really, there's never been really a time when, you know, when I was saved, I grew up in the church, and I've always been a Christian, and, you know, I love the Lord, and But they never had a revelation of Jesus and never had a time in their life that they knew they were forgiven and that they saw themselves as a sinner. So I guess there are perfect people among us, huh? I guess there are people that grow up that are just perfect and they don't need to have their sins forgiven. And the weight of sin that the Scripture defines it as roll off their shoulders. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Okay, so how do people end up that way? How do we, and you know, do any of us, do we ever lie to ourselves? Oh, I didn't see. Oh, I didn't see. I didn't feel that. That didn't bother me. You know, that new John across the screen, that this movie I went to thought was okie dokie, you know, new Johnny across the screen. Oh, didn't bother me. You know, the guy sitting next to you has got a lap full of popcorn. Whatever. But how do we... This is what I'm talking about is the spirit of this age that is instructing us and that is feeding us every day. The spirit of this age is something we have to start waking up to. Because we're being told in every way. You ever listen to Christian radio? I mean, you could feel pretty much okay with doing about anything. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1 says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their destructive ways. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness with feigned words, politically right words, humanistic words, will make merchandise of you. Verse 10. Chiefly them that are walking after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanliness, that despise government, despise authority, self-willed, not afraid to present their own opinion over submitting to the power of the truth. That's what heresy means. There's a scripture in Judges. Judges starts off with the day of Judges, the time of Judges was a time when every man did that which is right in his own eyes. That is the description of the self-willed spirit that despises government or despises authority. And there's very little government in the church today. I mean true government of the spirit. And really, the government of the Spirit is the government that comes from you and I being willing to willfully, voluntarily submit ourselves to the influence of the Holy Ghost. And hearing His voice, not just in the words we read in the Bible, but hearing His voice through prayer, hearing His voice in our spirit, and hearing His voice through our wives, through our children, through our brothers, through the people we work for, hearing the voice of the Spirit, being able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Having right relationships, this goes back to what Joe was talking about. We should all have a subjective, personal experience in all the main doctrines of Christ in the New Testament, in this word. We should have a personal experience with that. The doctrines of godliness. Matthew 5 through 7. We should have a personal experience. We should be subjective in all those things. You ever hear anybody say, well, they're really opinionated. You know, or they're really intense, or they're really emotional, or they really, you know, they really get going on what they believe. I'd much rather have somebody that's very opinionated and very emotional and believes even the wrong thing. I'd much rather be in a relationship with somebody who believes the wrong thing and who'll stand by it and has emotion in it than somebody that's totally objective and there's no life and there's no personal involvement in the truth that they believe. Because that truth is always a relative truth according to the whims and ills and politically right factions of the day. That's why Pilate said, what is truth? That's why he said that. Jesus says, all that are of the truth, hear my voice, know me. And Pilate says, what is truth? Philosophers down through the ages until today cannot answer the question, what did he mean? What is truth? But it's pretty plain because Pilate, in his realm, is like the judges and the magistrates of today. We live in a society that is what? Amoral. Truthful. In other words, truth is relative according to what law is in force or what the judicial system has decided that the lawmakers were wrong in what they made and what we voted on. And so they change it. Laws made by the judicial system in our country. Any of you remember Bork, Judge Bork? Appointed by Reagan to the Supreme Court. They weren't letting that guy in. And they didn't let him in. Because of his stand toward the Constitution. He's a constitutional expert. And Bork wrote several books, and one of the books that he wrote is The Supreme Court of the Land and the Federal Courts of the Land are changing the laws, which is illegal. They're making laws sitting on the bench that are circumventing the laws created by the legislature. There's so much going on in this country that you read Matthew 24, you read the end time scenarios, and you see this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. But see, it's not enough for just to see it and recognize it. We've got to say, Lord, help me not be fall prey to it. Help me not be subject to it. What has this got to do with internet pornography? What do you think? It's the same spirit. The spirit of worldliness it's just going to manifest in some way or another. But there's a scripture, and this will be my last scripture I'll give you tonight. You're probably totally confused. Anybody getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a scripture in Proverbs 18:1, and there's a couple different translations of this that are really good. Proverbs 18:1, and I'll explain this. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeks and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool has no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now, verse 1 and 2 go together. When you, there's, like I say, there's several translations, but when you do word studies on this and when you get into the original language, it's talking about through sensual, carnal, suke, soulish desire, a man will separate himself from fellowship and from oversight and input from his brethren, and will begin to seek and meddle with all strange and worldly wisdom. And a fool, the spirit of the fool, his delight is discovering what's in his soul above knowing the truth. His delight is merely giving expression to everything that's in him rather than being governed by truth. Let the little deers express themselves. Where do you think the expression curtain crawlers comes from? Oh, he's expressing himself. Will he come down? You know, the government of the Spirit is really a man or an individual responding to the still small voice or the impression or the inclination that comes to do the right thing. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and spiritually violent men take it by force. The kingdom is kind of like a pressurized realm. It's kind of a Star Wars type of concept. How many of you know God is extraterrestrial? How many of you know Jesus was extraterrestrial? He didn't come from the earth. He came from heaven. The Son of Man came from heaven. The kingdom of God is an existence that's under tremendous pressure, the pressure of righteousness. There is a war in heaven. You can read about it in Revelation 12. There's a war in heaven, and Satan was kicked out. And his place was found no more. And we're given to know there's three heavens, the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven. And one is the earth, and one is the domain. The second heaven is the domain that Lucifer and his angels are in at this time. And then there's God's heaven, the heaven of all heavens. And that's why when Daniel prayed, the angel took how long? 14 days. Why? Because he was at warfare with the prince over the realm to get through. We read about these things, we think, oh, well, that's kind of neat. But it's more than neat. We live in a realm. We live in what the scripture defines as darkness. A realm of darkness. It says we were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So there's two pressures. There's the pressure of darkness, which is on us all the time, 24/7. And then there's the realm of the kingdom that the scripture says is under great pressure. Do you know what that pressure does? It keeps out darkness. The scripture said, Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter. Do you know what that word enter means? It means penetrate. Cannot enter the kingdom. Unless a man is born of God, he doesn't have the power or the force within himself to penetrate that kingdom realm. It's like breaking the birth canal. It's like coming out of the birth canal. When a man is born of, when we're born of the Spirit is has the power to cause us to be able to enter the kingdom realm. It's much easier to get out than it is to get in. We answer this. Was it easier to walk with Jesus and be happy and not sin when you were first saved than it is sometimes now? Why is that? Have you ever thought about that? You need to take time and wonder about these things. It's easier to enter into darkness than it is to penetrate the light, isn't it? And when you start falling, it's harder to get back, isn't it? And each time you do it, it's harder yet to get back. You've got to, and what does it say? The violent take it by force. What does that mean? That means that you and I need to keep a position of violence, being violently in love with Jesus, setting our affection on things above, loving Him, caring about what He thinks, pleasing Him every day, being filled with the Spirit. You know what I'm thinking about some things recently, and you know what I've been thinking about, and I want to just present this to you guys as I'll shut this down. But the last thing I want to tell you tonight is I feel like we need to ask Jesus daily for more of His power to overcome. I mean ask Him. It's His Father's good pleasure to give the Holy Ghost to us. That's what He says in John. I pray probably every day, most every day, fill me with Your Spirit for the purpose of ministry. I don't want to go through a day not being energized and not having some kind of an anointing on my life. I want to be light in this dark world. I want my light on. I want to know what's going on around me. I want to have my eyes open to my realm of ministry. All of us go to different kinds of jobs, have different businesses, whatever. You can be just as anointed hitting a hammer or hitting a nail or making a bagel. You can be anointed making bagels. I mean, after all, it's God's food. Jewish delight. But we need to carry an anointing, and we can do that. And it's the Lord's pleasure. It's not only His pleasure, it's His will for us. Not that we're
walking around all day so filled with emotion that nobody can even get close to us. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that we need to have a violence about us, a right kind of violence about us that keeps sin's temptation at a distance. And I guess the last thing I want to say is, you guys, I've said it before, you've got to pray the Lord's Prayer. Everything that we need is in the Lord's Prayer. Keep us from evil. And I take it a step further. In Isaiah, the promise is what? No weapon formed against us will prosper, and every word that rises up in condemnation against us, we condemn. That's scripture. That's our heritage. It says, and that's the heritage of the saints. And I take it a step forward, further, because of the ministry I've been in, and because there have been plots and plans against me, I say, and every word and plot and plan that rises up against me today, Lord, I condemn in Jesus' name according to your word, and that's our heritage. And I don't just say it to say it. I mean it. And I say, no weapon formed against us. I pray for you guys every day. No weapon formed against Jeremy or Dan or Martin or Tim or Lloyd or any of you at work. No weapon formed against you will prosper this day. No weapon formed against this ministry will prosper this day. I pray also that God's kingdom will come, His will be done on earth as it is heaven, in your lives as well as my life and in the church. If you have problems with people in the church, you know how to pray for them? Jesus, let them see your kingdom. Let your kingdom come to them. Any problem you have with anybody, if the kingdom comes to them, they'll do what's right. And watch out, because if you pray for yourself, you might have to do what's right first. Lord, you know how those people are over there, and you know how that guy is over there, and I just pray your kingdom come, and of course, let it come to me too. Okay, Gene, go repent to the guy. I beg your pardon. I rebuke you, you foul spirit.